Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. What's up and welcome in. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We've got an excellent one planned for you. Here's what we got on the docket. Seventh round pick from Notre Dame, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, joins us at 2:45. We'll ask him about hearing his name called by the Commanders on Saturday. Trevor Sikkema, PFF draft expert and analyst, one of our good buddies, stops by at 3:30. We'll get his thoughts on Washington's roster as they approach minicamp. And the defensive coordinating assistant and D-line coach at Illinois, Terrence Jamison, who coached Johnny Newton, will be on the show at 5 o'clock. So, Danny, a deep dive into some of the draft prospects today right here on The Fan.
It's going to be fun, man. Don't look now, but the Washington Nationals are 500. I mean, if you don't count like being 1-1, this is the deepest they've been 500 in a season since 2021, when Kyle Schwarber turned into Babe Ruth for a month, and they got him back, I think, to 40-40. They're playing pretty decent baseball. I know playing the Marlins helps. It helps anybody, but it's been kind of fun here of late watching some of the kids scrap. Jacob Young is still stealing bases. We got a bona fide star in town that, frankly, should be getting more attention, but it's all of a sudden kind of neat, man. Some of the kids are all right.
Yeah, people are going to try to dismiss their accomplishment, which was a four-game sweep in Miami, as not being impressive because it's the Marlins, and they can kick rocks. Number one, four games in a row against the same team in Major League Baseball doesn't happen very often. Doesn't matter how good you are and how bad they are. Number two, we're forgetting that the Nats are supposed to be awful. The Nats are supposed to be the Marlins. They're supposed to be on par with them. So now that they're 500, and because they pull off this four-game sweep of this lowly, terrible Marlins team that's throwing the ball around the yard, now you want to go, oh, but it's only the Marlins. Same people that we had to hear annoyingly tell us how bad the Nationals were for months leading up to the season. So you can't have your cake and eat it, too. They are not the Marlins. They're better than that. As you said, they're 500. They're playing pretty good ball. And that was impressive. They had not had a four-game sweep that they won four in a row against the same team since September of 2019 when they took five in a row from the Phillies going into the playoffs the year they won the World Series. So you're going back 5 years to find the last time they did this. They scored 30 runs in the last 3 days to do it, by the way. An offensive explosion fueled, as always, you just referenced, we got a star in town. His name is C.J. Abrams.
Call creeps to his lead off third. The set at the belt in the 2-0. Swing a long drive down the right field line. If it's fair, it's gone. It's way back there. It's fair, and it's gone. A line drive, two-run homer for C.J. Abrams. Nationals lead it 2-0. Home run number 7 for C.J. Out of here in the blink of an eye.
7 home runs in the first month of the season for Abrams. Here's the list of Nationals who have ever done that before. Ryan Zimmerman, Bryce Harper, C.J. Abrams.
How about that?
7 home runs before the calendar turns to May. Danny, he's hitting right at about 300, 297, with an OPS over 1,000. He's one of the leaders in the sport in slugging percentage.
He's only got 6 stolen bases, and I say only because he's got, you know, world-class speed, and he's one of the most elite base stealers in the sport. The issue he's running into, oh, it's so frustrating. He has too many extra base hits, too many doubles, too many triples, too many bombs. I'll take it. No worries. He's playing a good shortstop, too, by the way. An underrated part here. He improved, became more consistent defensively. This is a star. This isn't just, oh, this is nice. The skill set is rounding into form. The other guys that are at the top of the list here, in terms of, you know, long balls, it's Ellie De La Cruz, who looks like he ate two C.J. Abrams is. He's enormous. You get some of the league leaders, guys like Mike Trout, Marcelo Zuna, Tyler O'Neill, among the league leaders and homers. Abrams is right there with them, also playing shortstop, also electric on the base paths. His most impressive thing yesterday may not have been the homer, although that's pretty impressive. He basically, it's not going to count, but he basically stole home. A ball bounced away from the catcher, didn't even get out of the dirt of the circle, and he beat it easily to home plate because he's so fast and with such anticipation.
He's incredible. A blast to watch. The Nationals right now, they just run, man. Speaking of which, Jacob Young is this young, up-and-coming, not a great prospect, but speedy outfielder who's a pain in the butt to pitch against because he doesn't strike out. He puts the ball in play. Not a lot of power. Small guy. But he's 8-for-16 in this Marlins series over four games, Danny. Scored 9 times and stole 6 bases. He is the first player in Major League Baseball to score 9 times and steal 6 bases in a series since 1911. That was the year that Wrigley Field was built.
Mm, different time.
1911, man. That was, I think, right before the Titanic sank. The last time a player did what Jacob Young did in this series. So you can join the Jacob Young bandwagon. You got to sit behind me. There's a couple seats back there, though. If you want to hop aboard. But the Nats, 4-game sweep in Miami. Congrats to them. Attaboy to Davey Martinez and company. Let's get into the Commanders on the heels of the NFL draft, though. Here's where I wanted to start the show today. We got some calls as we asked you for feedback on their draft class yesterday. And there were enough of you who felt this way that I thought it would be worth clicking a little further into today on. Did they do enough to help Jaden Daniels after they drafted him number 2 overall? They went and got him a tight end in Ben Sinnott, who could end up being one of his most utilized weapons over the next couple of seasons. They even drafted him a wide receiver who we had on the show yesterday, who, by the way, was fantastic. If you missed Luke McCaffrey here on Grant and Danny, please do yourself a favor when we're done tonight and go podcast that conversation. He was really, really good. So it's hard to say they didn't do anything because they got him the 2 pass catchers. Maybe you wanted a different tight end than Sinnott. Perhaps you thought they reached on McCaffrey. You could pick your nits. They didn't get him a true left tackle, but they also checked the box. If you're just looking for offensive linemen, they think will start at left tackle by the end of the year. Enter Brandon Coleman, who they bring in from Texas Christian. So while a lot of people say, I just wish they would have done something different at left tackle, or they waited a little longer than I thought at wide receiver. I know that was your take. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they didn't take the tight end I want. It did seem like there was a little frustration with the supporting cast for Daniels in what was a pretty impressive defensive class that they put together.
Right, and to me, the priority, if you feel like I do, which is there's nothing wrong with Johnny Newton, there's nothing wrong with Mike Sainer still, but it's not their fault that they're not offensive players. To me, philosophically, that should have been the focus. And I know sometimes it happens when you're in the draft room and you're going, these guys are too highly graded for us to pass on them, right? We have a first-round grade. We have a, let's call him, we get the guy that's 17th on our board is available at 36. You can't not take him, which I understand. So in each individual moment, I'm not upset necessarily with a given pick. But to me, the instant I go, I'm turning everything that I'm going to be evaluated by and judged by over the next handful of years really hinges on whether this quarterback hits or not. I just couldn't live with myself unless I did everything I possibly could to ensure his success. And if he sinks or he swims, it's going to be based on that. It's not going to be because I didn't give him enough or not going to do enough. Think of all the quarterbacks that have failed in every other place where they just go, where it's like going to New England right now. Hey, man, good luck. See what you can do, Drake. See if you can fix all of this of a decade, basically, of bad personnel decisions. I don't want to do that. So to me, to end up without a left tackle that's bona fide, they're hoping one guy as a project maybe morphs into a left tackle when he's got some guard in his background in Coleman. And I like Luke McCaffrey plenty, a glorified fourth-round pick because it was a compensatory pick at the end of round 3. To me, where the strength of this draft was, they didn't get into the tackle market, and they didn't get into the receiver market. And that's one of the things that I felt like you had to do coming into this year. And look what Chicago did, right? Whether it was Odunze or otherwise, they went, we can spend a second-round pick and get our young pass catcher to be one of the most dependable receivers in the sport in Keenan Allen? Yes, please. Check that box. So now Caleb Williams is walking into maybe the best situation a rookie quarterback has walked into, maybe since Andrew Luck taking over that Colts team for Peyton Manning. And maybe it's even a better situation than that with all the weapons and how good that defense could be.
Well,
so my answer is no.
I think Caleb Williams is walking into the greatest situation any quarterback's ever had.
So there you go. And that, to me, I'm not saying that's the standard, but let's try to get there.
And this is where you and I have disagreed a lot. The top 10 defense is a massive part of that because of the style of play, right? When we look at Jaden Daniels' film, I think part of what you have to acknowledge with Daniels is that he was playing hero ball constantly because he knew they had to score 40 just about every time they took the field. Because a punt meant you're going to be giving up 7 points before you see the rock again. And so sometimes you have to bake that in. And I think in the case of Caleb Williams, the fact that they're only going to need 20, 21 points most weeks is a great asset to a quarterback. It doesn't come in the form of a 6'1", 211-pound wide receiver who runs a 4.39, but it's a great asset to a quarterback. So drafting a corner in San Ristil to fix a need, drafting Johnny Newton who can help you make an impact right away, big deal for your QB, very helpful. I would have done more in the way of weapons. I have to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
I would have taken a wide receiver sooner than they did. I would have taken a tight end, maybe not sooner than they did, but that presents matchup problems right away, like a Jatavion Sanders in week 1, and not cared nearly as much about the run game or the blocking element of it, which is not to say I didn't like the Senate pick. I like it a lot. But I would have come out of this class with at least three skill position players on offense. 2 and 1 at tight end and wide receiver in either direction, and they didn't. And I just think I would have done it a little bit earlier. Having said that, you're saying you don't think they did enough.
Correct.
And I will disagree with that. I think they did an adequate job. My preference, I come into this with the proclivity that I'm going to oversupply the QB with weapons because my balance is swung heavily to offense over defense, and I acknowledge that. But putting on the normal, this is not my hot way of viewing it, my take, and just the NFL way of looking at this, I actually think they, if the question is, did they do enough to help Jaden Daniels after they picked him, my answer is yes. Both because they got him 2 weapons, but also because Sanristil and Newton specifically are going to help him a whole lot.
Yeah, I think that's something we'll never get past. I mean,
You think you have to catch passes or block for a quarterback to help him?
Well,
and
no.
I think that the team game is different.
I don't. I think it's more important. Like, what helps a quarterback more, a left tackle or a corner? I think the answer is intuitive. It's a left tackle. And I think that's where we'll just disagree. I mean, to me,
a great left tackle or, you know, maybe, but if you're – Who helps Jaden Daniels more, Cornelius Lucas or, you know, a tremendous corner? I would say a tremendous corner.
Hmm. Yeah, fundamentally, I just can't get there. To me, the guy that he's playing offense with, that he interacts with every day, that prevents him from getting hit, et cetera, is more critical to his development.
It's more direct, for sure.
Yeah, and that's my point, is the direct relationship. So to me, that's where this whole thing was. They left work for themselves to do. Their offseason, by the way, it sounds like I'm ripping them. I'm not at all. To me, a tremendous success when taken in its totality. Right, they didn't overcommit salaries to aging, players in the twilight of their career, like early free agency Dan Snyder. Their signings are cultural. Their signings are smart. Their signings are to upgrade the talent pool here in the immediate to help their number 2 overall quarterback, and that guy's good. I'm excited about that pick. They've influxed a lot of things. I like 90-some% of what they've done. To me, though, the work that you left was left tackle, and I argue another receiver. Now, where they could push back on me is I'm now Danny Peters. Dude, our evaluation, Jahan Dotson was misused. This was a bad year. You watch and see. Watch what he does under Cliff Kingsbury and now with Jaden Daniels. Austin Eckler is going to take some pressure off him. You wait and see. We actually have 2 really good wide receivers. Just you wait. If that's the case, I'll eat my words. I'll be dead wrong, and this offense will be fun. To me, this was a great opportunity to make him more of a a 2A, kind of a slot guy, maybe a little bit more gadget, maybe what he excels at, and find someone opposite Terry McLaurin to really put pressure on defenses. There's no bona fide number one. It's like a 1A. Two 1As makes it difficult for the defense to stop.
McCaffrey is going to play a lot in 11 personnel immediately. So they did do that. I mean, they went and got a wide receiver that when they go to 11 is going to be on the football field. That's Luke McCaffrey. Now, maybe you wanted A.D. Mitchell.
That's an example of one,
I mean, that's fine. Like, you can disagree with their evaluation on the player, but they did at least get a wide receiver in the, not at like the fifth round, right? They did it in the top 100 who was going to be on the field. They also brought in Olamide Zaccheaus, who has played a ton both in Atlanta and Philadelphia as a depth wide receiver, and they still have Deami Brown, who's a former third-round pick, who flashed at times last season. Now, do I think he's a stud? Absolutely not. But you basically need him to be a fourth wide receiver right now, depending on where Zaccheaus is on the depth chart. There's a lot of groups in the league that are worse than Washington's. Could they have done more? Sure. You've got McLaurin, Dotson, a rookie draft pick in the top 100 if he's any good, and then Deami Brown and Olamide Zaccheaus. So basically five wideouts, which isn't even to talk about Jamison Crowder, who's probably going to be active on game days, and then any of the projects that they still have, right? Last year's preseason favorite, Mitchell Tinsley, Kaz Allen, who was a special teams threat. But to me, and we talked about it all offseason, I'm not breaking news, you know how I feel. Yes, I wanted to go get an X. Like, I wanted an explosive stud and move Jahan into the slot, have Terry McLaurin as a Z on the other side. They didn't end up getting there. But while it's not how I would have done it, I still think Jaden Daniels has plenty. You got Austin Ekeler out of the backfield. You've got Ertz, who's put together a, you know, an all-pro kind of era here. You draft Sinnott at tight end. Like, it would be easier to knock them, in my opinion, if they came out of the draft without a wide receiver or if they came out of the draft without a tight end. With their top four picks, two of those picks were used on those positions. So they did do it. Maybe you don't love the guys that they got.
Well, I like Luke McCaffrey. He was awesome on our show. People had a fifth-round grade on him. They took him really as a fourth-rounder. Right, they didn't. So, okay, if that solves it, if he's great, again, it'll be wonderful for you to be wrong, and we'll enjoy Sundays. It's just hard for me to believe that, he's a fourth-rounder, will walk in and supplant all these other veterans or these other guys. The people you named to me, you can put Dax Milne, Deami Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, shuffle them up, and they'll be the fifth receiver on almost any team. I'm not interested in any of those guys. To me, there was an opportunity to get really good there, and that's what I would do.
The rest of the depth chart.
No, I understand. I'm not ripping you.
Good.
I'm saying this was a great opportunity to be excellent at a spot that directly benefits your young quarterback. And philosophically, I would do that. If I had a veteran quarterback that's been doing this for a while, and I'm going, dude, I can't try to win 40-39 every week. By all means, let's add some depth to our defensive line. Let's add a nickel cornerback. Let's improve that other side of the ball because I got a guy that is proven a bona fide that's going to carry us. I'm trying to get this kid hitting the ground running, and there are opportunities to do more. I would always do more, and they didn't take it that way. That's all.
Yeah, I think that's probably how I would word it, is you would always do more. They did plenty, but you want more, which is not bad, mm-hmm. I don't think, and I think it actually is smart. But if McLaurin, Dotson, Ertz, Ekeler, Sinnott, Deami Brown, Zaccheaus, you know, whatever else they throw in there, isn't enough, then I don't think it's because you had a bad supporting cast. Going into last year, everyone thought Jahan Dotson was on his way to a Pro Bowl.
I did.
He'd be the second receiver on this group mm-hmm. to make the Pro Bowl in a few years. Like, it's not like they're the Bears of 4 years ago and he's Justin Fields. There's a lot here. The better argument to me is not receiver, where he's well above league average with the cast that he's got at this point, but left tackle, where they haven't addressed it. And maybe Coleman ends up being the lottery ticket that they hit on. But is that in September? Is that right away? I don't know. Like, that would be the concern to me. But what do you guys think? Let's open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. We've got one of the draftees from this 9-player class joining us this hour, Javonte Jean-Baptiste at 245. Do you think Washington, after taking Daniel second, made it a big enough priority to help him and did enough to help him? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Yeah, Brandon, I think, will come in and compete, you know, just like everybody else. And we certainly think he has what it takes to be a tackle in this league. And he's got the feet, he's got the speed, he's got the strength, and he's got the intelligence. So, and he's got the right mindset. And so he'll come in and compete just like everybody else.
GM Adam Peters on Brandon Coleman, sixth-year senior offensive lineman, 23 and a half years old, 6'4", 313, who was born in Virginia and moved to Berlin when he was a couple months old. Made 11 starts this past season, second-team All-Big 12, missed a game with injury, 22 of his last 26 starts over 2 years at left tackle. A lot of people thought he was a guard. Washington sees him on the outside at left tackle. He's the only player at his position they drafted, though. And if you want to say that was underwhelming, I totally agree with you. But I do think they did enough to help Jaden Daniels. They got him with two pass catchers, and they improved the defense immensely. And where Danny and I have disagreed a bit, we're going to take your calls at 800-636-1067. And it's funny because I think you're stunned by my take, and I'm kind of shocked by yours. I think that having a much better defense is very helpful to a young quarterback. And I think that's pretty obvious. But for you, it's got to be more direct, and you got to go get the skill guys around them.
Yeah, given the choice between having a bad defense and a good one, I'd love to have a good one. That's nice. Until your offense is good, you're wasting your time. That's in this sport. The best corollary for who's going to the conference title games every year is who's got the most points. Last year's outlier was actually the Kansas City Chiefs with the greatest quarterback ever to live, potentially. Previous years, it's, are you in the top five in points? You're probably in the conference championship game with a chance to win the Super Bowl. Go back and look at it. It's pretty easy to figure out who the best teams were. You can only look at that category and go, I got a pretty good feeling somehow randomly that the 49ers and the Chiefs and the Bills and the Lions and the Eagles are in conference title games every year because their offenses were the best. I mean, do that first.
Terrific defense is on three of those four, two, the top couple of teams there.
Sure, that's nice.
But having said that, we're in agreement. There's no reason to argue about offense is important. Nobody's saying it isn't. Offense is having the more weapons is better. That goes without saying. If we're talking about building a champion, which I didn't know we were talking about that, then absolutely. I just thought this was a Jaden Daniels discussion. And if that's the case, you know, then pretty much everything they did elevates the team, elevates him some. The question is 800-636-1067, did they do enough? Do you agree with me on the Dan Quinn hire? Which is to say, one of the reasons I didn't love going defensive-minded. When you hire a defensive-minded coach, everything about the organization is shaped in his image now, and it's all about run fast, hit people, play violent, arrive violently, not for everybody, put that on a poster. You're doing the bit again where, you know, we're going to be doing the defensive dance. Like, that's young quarterback, electric runner who can throw two. This is fun. This is exciting. Cliff Kingsbury draw it up, but also let's play defense and hit people.
So I think you're right. I was hoping that we were not going to do that. Honestly, with, you know, with the understanding that if you have a defensive mind at the top, that this is an inherent weakness from where the modern league is, and there's a reason the first 14 picks were offensive players and not some random coincidence. I thought we were out of that with, like, having Cliff Kingsbury and stuff like that. We're not. This is it.
You remember they hired Quinn, though, right?
Yeah.
You ain't out of that, my
guy. So I thought it was like we're beyond that. We're smart enough to recognize that that's not what we're doing, but that's what we're doing.
Chris is in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris? How are you?
What's up? Sorry, guys. I'm eating a Wawa hoagie, so excuse me.
Wawa hoagies are delicious.
They're delicious. What'd you get?
What kind of hoagie do you have?
I got the Italian.
It's so good.
And I added some pepperoni. So I go oil, vinegar, and a little bit of mayo. That's how I do it.
I do it on the pretzel bread, by the way. I love
some
it.
Some oil and vinegar and some mayo on a hoagie.
All right. So, look, Danny, I've been listening to you for, like, over a decade. I don't think you've ever been completely satisfied a day in your life, except for maybe when you were riding on that bus down Pennsylvania Avenue.
That's probably
That was pretty fun, yeah.
I mean, look, I think you're underestimating a couple of key factors. Number one, what this new regime thinks of how Bieniemy just poorly utilized his offensive personnel last year through his play calling. Maybe they believe in some of the existing talent, including the offensive line, for that matter, that's already on the roster. You say they needed to upgrade offense. Well, the most important position is quarterback. They spent their number two draft pick on quarterback.
That's right.
They got a pass catching tight end. They added another guy who could be a potential playmaker at wide receiver. They had a lot of needs, and they addressed almost every single one of them. Yes, I would have loved for them to draft one of the elite tackles, but they didn't have enough draft capital to do all of these things. So
there's only so many things you can get done quickly. I think he's gone.
No,
Chris,
totally,
thank you.
Yeah, totally the point. Chris, I think you're right on. It's better than it was. But my point is that I know you can't do everything. I don't want to do everything. I wanted to prioritize. And they said, no, we can fix some more stuff. To me, like the most critical leak that's going to cause me to flood and drown, I'm fixing that one first. Then I start to do some of the finer things. I'm into the players that they got. Individually, these are good decisions. On a macro, I think there's a philosophical difference between maybe me and the actual smart professionals.
But you have to acknowledge that if they had another really good wide receiver, you'd probably still want something else on offense. Like, there is some truth to what he said, to where it's like, they haven't reached your threshold, but your threshold would probably move again. Or do you disagree with that? Like, if they drafted A.D. Mitchell instead of
Sanristil.
Sanristil. And then they didn't take Luke McCaffrey, and that was the corner, and it's Rakestraw or whatever. I don't know who was there.
Right.
I think you're still somewhat annoyed that they didn't do more because they took a corner.
I'd be more pleased on the spectrum.
But they took a D-tackle in the second round, so you're mad about that, right?
Right. Yeah, but there's a spectrum. It's not a one or zero. It's on a one is thrilled, and what scam am I using? Anyway, I'd be happier if they went, no, we're prioritizing offense.
Tony, Long Island, what's good, buddy?
Hey, guys, how you been?
Hey, buddy.
Awesome.
It's been a while. I just had to wait. I needed to see who the quarterback was going to be before I got back into this.
There you go.
Love it.
Do the whole guessing game. And I'm happy. I'm thrilled. They made the right choice, in my opinion. I think there's one thing, though, Danny, you may have to get used to with this front office, because you did hear it a few times out of Adam Peters' mouth post-draft. Commander tag. We had commander tags on these players. There is a certain it factor they are looking for in football players.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch these guys, you know, Sennett, McCaffrey, Sanristil, they're all from the same ilk. They are building something that I think goes back to what, you know, you were talking about a championship squad. You know, Grant's talking about building around Daniels. I think they're doing enough. Rome wasn't built in a day. The defense was probably the worst defensive unit I've ever seen in my life. They had to address it, whether it was an offensive head coach or a defensive head coach. Give it time, Dan. Give it time. But they're putting ballers and dogs on this roster.
That's the idea.
Arguably the worst defense in the league by pretty much any statistical measure. They had to do something. I also want to go back to Chris's point really quickly, because I thought he hit on something. I don't know if this is the case or not, but I think Chris in Hyattsville may have hit one out of the park when he said, isn't the decision-making this offseason a tell as to how they feel about the offensive personnel? Like, they looked at the defensive personnel.
I acknowledge,
and they shredded the whole thing.
Yep.
They go, we need to sign three defensive ends. We need to sign three linebackers. We need to go out. We need to sign three random corners that might not even make the team. We need to draft a corner. Like, everything they did, it screamed into a megaphone. This defense is horrendous. The last group couldn't evaluate players. On offense, they haven't really done that. They got a pass-catching running back, which they were devoid of anyway. But otherwise, it's kind of the same group. I mean, they're a little bit of...
I'd say a little bit less than kind of the same. I think 5 of the 11 starters will be different.
Well, but my point is, it's like salt and pepper on the table, right? They bring in... I'm talking about the skill positions. They have two new offensive linemen, I suppose. But it's still McLaurin, Dotson, probably McCaffrey if he could supplant Diami to start the season. But really, it's Brian Robinson... and the big difference is of the core skill guys is going to be Jaden Daniels, you know, and then it's going to be some Sennett, some McCaffrey, some Eckler, whatever. But if you compare the offense to the defense, it's pretty clear they like the offense a lot more than they like the defense.
So totally acknowledge that as a possibility. I said that the counter argument to me from them would be, wait till you see Jahan Dotson this year. Last year, not his fault or something. If he's this year who I thought he was last year, that makes sense?
Yeah.
Then they'll be right and I'm wrong. I hope for that. My evaluation, though, my belief is they don't have that much in that room. Terry McCoy's a very nice player. I don't really believe in anybody else there.
Dotson.
I don't say I'm out.
You were super high on him a year ago.
Totally, I was wrong.
But so you now don't think he's nearly as good as you did?
Correct.
So I thought he was on his way to becoming a top 15 receiver in the game. I don't think that anymore. I think he's way better than last year, And I think that was largely a Bieniemy offense issue. I think he is going to be much better this season than he was last year. One of those defensive players the Commanders drafted in round 7 was an edge from Notre Dame by way of Ohio State, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. He joins us next right here on GND.
Javonte?
Yep.
What's up, man? It's Adam Peters and Dan Quinn from the Commanders. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
I need. That's the jersey juice I'm talking about right there. Right on.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about right there. I'll make you a Commander, man.
Yeah. All right, dude. Congrats, man.
Congrats, man. We're fired up.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline as promised. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. We are joined by 7th round pick Javonte Jean-Baptiste of Notre Dame by way of Ohio State. The final pick for the Commanders in the 2024 NFL draft class. 9-player class that they put together. Talented edge rusher, had 5 sacks and 10.5 tackles for loss this year. Javonte, thank you so much for the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
Doing very great, well. Buddy. Pumped up to chat with you. So take us back to your draft day celebration. You're watching day 3. You're hoping to hear your name called. Who was around you? You know, what was on the menu? Where were you at? What was it like?
All right, so I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm with my family, my mom, dad, uncles, cousins, godbrothers. Everybody's there, man. The menu-wise, food-wise, we had it all. Like, we had ribs, steak, mac and cheese, yams, beans. What you wanted? Pasta salad. It was there.
Javonte, did you know you were getting picked by Washington?
Did I know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was hoping for it.
Well, Lena, take us up to it. What kind of conversations did you have with them, and were they, you know, giving you signals and the like? What's that like?
I mean, for me, like I had some visits with some other teams, but when I went out there to Washington, man, I just felt the love, the conversation between everyone in the building, man. I think everything went perfectly fine, and I was like, man, that's a place I could be at. So I was sitting there, and I'm just, like, waiting. I'm like, man, come on.
Did they separate themselves at all? Like, was it obvious more so than other teams that they liked you, or were there a lot of clubs you thought might take you? What was that like?
I feel like they did separate themselves pretty much very well. Probably, like, one out of the two. But from them, it was most, like, distinctively, I was like, yeah, I feel that they're rocking with me, and I'm rocking with them.
I like it.
So then you get the phone call. We've seen it, right? Peters, Quinn, they pass the phone around. They tell you you're getting drafted. What a relief that must have been as the wait finally ended. I mean, what was your expectation for where you could go from your agents, and what were you thinking might happen?
I mean, I knew I was going to get gone, but I just didn't know exactly when. It could have been. Could have been early, could have been middle, could have been late. So I was just sitting there, anxious, you know, stomach in knots, like just twisting and turning. And then once I got that call, it was like the weight of the world was just like off my shoulders. I mean, at first I was excited. And then it was like I got hit with a whole nother emotion of like, just like finally achieving something, man. The tears came out crazy. I was like, oh, I'm on the phone ugly crying.
That's awesome, dude. Well, again, congratulations. Javonte, right now, what do you do well? What is your best attribute, and what are folks in D.C. getting?
My best attribute is my motor, man. They're going to get a person and a player that's going to play sideline to sideline, someone that's going to try to fire the guys up and make sure that I'm helping them hold the standard that wants to be in that building.
I'm curious about your strengths and where you want to add to your game. Weaknesses, maybe.
I mean, a player like me, since my strengths are kind of be my length, my speed, how I play, my mentality. I wouldn't really say I have like too much of like crazy weaknesses, but I just like will have to make sure I'm able to like stay involved in like yoga, Pilates and stuff like that, that I can gain more mobility and flexibility.
How did going to two different colleges, being part of two different elite programs, how did that kind of help shape your journey here, getting ready for the draft, getting used to the way things are done in multiple places might actually be an advantage?
Man, it was an advantage because I'll say just first off, from going from Ohio State, you walking in that building, you got guys like Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Jonathan Cooper, and that's just at the edge positions. You got other players, Justin Fields, J.K. Dobbins, guys like that, Jeff Okuda, and you get to see how they work every day and what they put into their bodies, you know, how they maintain themselves off the field, on the field, what they're doing when no one's watching. And I feel like I was able to just learn from those guys and add what they were doing well and try to replicate that myself. Now I say going to Notre Dame, it was a good thing for me because I was able to walk into a new system, you know, because I was being at Ohio State, I was there for 5 years. Now where I'm at in my next phase in life, I'm going into another place where I don't know anyone. And I was able to do very well with that at Notre Dame, going in there, attacking everything, getting to know everyone in the building, man, creating a lot of relationships, and just being able to learn from Coach Washington and Coach Free, Coach Golden, and the system that they had planned for me. You know, so I feel like my overall experiences between being at two blue blood colleges, it was amazing, man, getting to learn from Coach Johnson and Coach Wash, man, it's a blessing.
Javonte Jean-Baptiste, 49 tackles, 10.5 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, Notre Dame this past season, 6'5", good-looking athlete. The Commanders just added in the draft, joining us on Grant and Danny. Give me a comp to an NFL rusher that you've either patterned your game after or you think resembles how you operate a little bit.
Man, I say what I try to do by patterning my game was, I know a lot of people are going to say it, but I really like to watch, like, there's kind of a couple players I really like to diagnose and watch, and it was Max Crosby was one, Bud Dupree, and just taking a little stuff from Carlos Dunlap. The thing about Max was I just loved his relentlessness, how he plays sideline to sideline. And if you go take a little peek at me, you can see how I do that by chasing plays down and stuff.
Who's your favorite team growing up, or who are some of the players that you rooted for?
My favorite team growing up, I mean, I'm from New York. My dad was a big Giants fan. So, you know, I had to go where my dad was with.
Your phone broke up. What were you saying?
You said Washington?
No.
No, we're kidding.
Nah, that's my favorite team now.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
That's my favorite team now. Ain't nobody but none. Commander now.
Let's go.
Back then,
love that. Everybody's got to get the burgundy and gold. Well, it's been great catching up. We appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping aboard, and best of luck to you, bro.
No problem. Thank you.
Javonte Jean-Baptiste of your Commanders here on Grant and Danny. Next, TJ Oshie's status for next season and beyond in doubt. And Adam Schefter says Drake May was not a consideration for Washington at number 2. We'll dive into both of those stories as we continue on The Fan.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.